Welcome to the Kindling's Muse podcast.
Hi, this is Dick Staub with another in our Journeys series, conversations with thoughtful creatives and cultural influencers on their life, work, and personal journey. Today, we continue our conversation with T.C. Boyle. We're visiting with T.C. Boyle. His book is Drop City. We just quoted Jim Morrison. And he also has Henry David Thoreau. Think of our life in nature, daily to be shown matter, to come in contact with it, rocks, trees, wind on our cheeks, the solid earth, the actual world, the common sense, contact. Who are we? Where are we?
Well read. And I love your emphasis because those words are italicized by Thoreau.
Yeah, yeah. Why is that an important companion to Morrison?
I think the two quotes speak to one another, and they do speak about a kind of spiritual essence and search for just a raison d'etre for our species.
Yeah, we were talking just before the break about a morality around sex, and there is a tragically and written that way, there is a rape scene. A young 14-year-old girl gets in, you know, beyond what she expected to in this situation. She wanted to run away from home and have a little experience. She didn't want to get raped.
Well, there's a fine line between what is free love and free for whom and what is coercive.
Exactly.
This is based on an actual incident that I read about in one of the commune books.
Yeah.
It happened. Because if you allow absolute freedom to everybody, some people will take advantage of that, as you suggested, with freeloaders on the one hand and people like Marco who are creative and building on the other.
Yeah.
Well, so you have all gradations of morality as well.
And unfortunately, it's African Americans that are involved in this, which means that in this ideal
world. Not exclusively.
Not exclusively, but they're the ones that are kind of tagged for it.
There is racism in the community.
Yeah, the ideal community, the, hey, come on, everybody, get along with each other, smile at your brother, turns into racism.
That's right. And, of course, the African Americans, who are then in that era called spades, which I think is kind of demeaning, but I suppose that was the era, and that's the way it was. They are very resentful because there is some question as to whether this was coercive or not, and the commune splits right down the middle, and they are voted out along with the white participants in this rape.
However, and people will get into this, I mean, it is interesting to see how they end up kind of muddling along and working it out in a certain way because they end up, we're talking in a minute about Alaska, but they don't all leave the commune.
Well, people felt when they heard that I was writing this book that it would be lambs to the slaughter, that, you know, here I am, the satirist, and I'm taking these hippies and putting them in an adverse environment, and obviously things will turn out in a negative way. But I like to surprise my readers. I like to do something different each time out, and I think readers would be very pleasantly surprised by the way this all turns out.
I want you to talk about drugs in the subplot of drugs in both the hippie drop dead community or drop city, but then it also plays a little bit of a role in Pamela's life when we get to Alaska. But if you had to kind of summarize what you learn about the drug culture of the 60s, what would you say we learned through looking at these characters?
Through Drop City, you mean?
Yeah.
Well, again, the drugs are part of the fashion of the times, and they're put on just as the clothing were put on.
Yeah.
And the attitudes. And I think the characters discover that they are beneficial to a degree, and also very negative, depending on how far you take it.
In the Druid Day, great tragedy, stupidity, drug-induced.
Well, the two little children, Trey and Sunshine, are given acid.
Yeah.
And, of course, some parents in that era did give their children drugs because they felt they were expanding their minds and opening them up in a spiritual way. Now, obviously, looking at this in hindsight, we can say that perhaps that wasn't the wisest idea.
Yeah, exactly. Now, suddenly we're reading along, we're kind of getting involved in these characters, and we've got a little shifting of love interests for Star between Ronnie and Marco. And now suddenly we wake up and rub our eyes and turn the page, and we're in Alaska.
Yes. And
now, how did that occur to you? We're going to end up in Alaska.
We novelists love to pull the old trick of telling you two stories simultaneously, and just when you're really suckered into one, we start a new one. And I was happy to discover that the Cess Harder and Pamela story would start off with their getting a courting and married, but in an unusual way.
Yeah.
That is, Pamela has lived in Anchorage, yeah, and she wants to go live in the bush and live simply.
Yes.
Because she hates, mechanized society. And she auditions three men who live out in the fictional town of Boynton on the Yukon, yeah, River. And spends 3 days with each one in his cabin to see which one will be amenable.
Chaste days.
Three chaste days, because she's 28 and she will have sexual relations when she is married.
Yeah.
And I love the contrast between her and the
hippies. Yeah.
And in fact, each section begins with a quote, and that section begins with a quote,
yeah,
from the Bible, in fact.
Yes, it does. And we'll come back to that in a minute, too. We're going to come back to everything, except we're not actually going to have time to, so we're going to just have to read the book. The book is Drop City. The answer to the question, why are they there, is an interesting one, because she clearly wants safety, because she's got the idea that things are going to get bad in the city, and the solution is to get out of the city. And the reason she's interested in a survivalist kind of guy, she wants to be hooked up with somebody who can actually grow things and kill things.
Yes, and isn't it great, because it's the most primitive way of our living, all, yeah, the generations,
totally,
to the industrial age.
Totally.
And further, as I said earlier, until 1970 in Alaska, you could homestead.
Yeah. So she was very, very practical. However, this is the beauty of the way you unfold this theme, that we head out in pursuit of our vision, and wherever we are, there it is, whatever that it is. In this case, the day they get married, they come back and his dogs are dead. And she's come here to escape the violence of the city, and now it's out there too. It goes everywhere
but
we go.
But they're not killed by animals. They're killed by a human being,
one
of his rivals.
Yeah.
To spoil his day and,
yeah,
spoil his wedding.
And we've got Joe Boskey. And you know, the whole Alaska thing is like a mean-spirited Northern Exposure. You know, everybody in Northern Exposure was quirky, but they got along. Here they're quirky, but some of them are kind of dangerous.
There are good guys and bad guys,
yeah,
in this,
absolutely,
book. And Joe Boskey is purely a bad guy. He's,
yeah,
an ex-Marine. He's fought in Vietnam. He has some money from combat pay, and,
yeah,
he's going to go up and, just as the others are going to live off the land, he lives off the land,
yeah,
too, but in a way that perhaps you wouldn't approve,
yeah,
of.
Now, you drop little hints throughout the story that herein is the seeds of destruction of my dream. And with her, it's on her 3 days when she's thinking about, you know, maybe she's going to marry him. I think it was in those 3 days. He takes her on a hike around the perimeter of the property, and she sees a cabin up above. And she's thinking, well, what? I didn't think I was moving to a subdivision, she says. And she's a little worried, and he reassures her, nobody's going to live there. You know, don't worry. The guy's gone. And the exciting news, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and we got to take a quick break, but the exciting news is, who's actually going to become her neighbors?
Well, of course, this is Roy Sender's old cabin. He had,
yeah,
been Cess's mentor. He happens to be Norm's uncle. So the hippies are going to move in right next door.
Ladies and gentlemen, the hippies run into trouble with the law in Northern California, and they figure, what better place to go than Alaska? And by the way, I've got an uncle that has a place we can live in up there. We can start a subdivision of hippies right next to the woman that wants to get away from civilization and kind of start a clean slate.
And furthermore, look at the cover. The cover shows eight people. That's an archival,
yep,
photo from that period.
Oh, my.
They're naked, face down. They're all embracing, grooving,
yeah,
in a field of flowers. And I think they're going to have to put their clothes on when they get to Alaska, because it's not only is it nippy there, but you've got a mosquito problem as well.
Join us for our next podcast with T.C. Boyle. Thank you for listening to Journeys on the Kindling's Muse.